And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, Who Saves One Life, was written by David Davidson and deals with the late Reverend Dr. Joshua Loth Liebman, rabbi of Temple Israel in Boston, whose preachings and whose book, Peace of Mind, offered light and comfort to millions of Americans.
He who saves one life, says the Talmud, it is as though he had saved the world. It was a text of which he was ever mindful. Joshua Loth Liebman. Sitting one afternoon in his pleasant study at Temple Israel in Boston, he was arrested suddenly by a letter which had come into his hand. One of almost 200 which had arrived that day alone.
No other course, therefore, but to...
Dr. Liebman.
Yes, Miss David.
I don't mean to rush you, but you're due in just a few minutes at a meeting of the Board of Overseers at Harvard Divinity School.
Yes, I know, Miss David.
And then you're going to have to squeeze in the conference of the Governor's Board of Clergymen.
Yeah, I haven't forgotten.
And then we'll have to whiz you to the station to make that train.
Miss David, have you seen this letter yet? From Indiana?
Oh, no, I've been in such a rush
today. Well, listen. Though I am not of your own faith, Dr. Liebman, I turn to your book, Peace of Mind, and hope it would give me a thing I've not been able to find for myself. But unfortunately, my life still does not seem to be worth living.
Oh, no.
And there is no course, therefore, but to bring it to an end.
I'll put in a phone call at once, Dr. Liebman.
A phone call?
To the police of his city, so they can stop him, if there's still time.
No, Miss David, wait. I think you'd better phone him.
You mean...
The man who wrote this letter, and say I want to talk with him.
But you're meeting...
I think I'd better hang on right here. Hurry, Miss David, please.
And so a message was started to a despairing man seven states away, separated by 1,000 miles of telephone wire and relays and connections.
Dr. Liebman, nothing to do now but wait for the operator to call back.
Yes, yes, to wait.
You know, one thing strikes me as being strange.
Hmm? What does, Miss David?
Well, this Mr. Anderson who wrote the letter.
Yes?
He must know dozens of people intimately. But the one person he turns to is a stranger. A man he knows to be terribly busy. Preaching, writing, traveling back and forth over the country. With hardly a minute he can call his own.
That isn't for me to consider, Miss David. Only that he did happen to turn this way. And that the sacred duty of every one of us...
Yes, Dr. Liebman.
I was just thinking about, well, something that was once said to me. So very long ago.
Yes, Joshua, that is what the Talmud tells us. He who destroys one life, it is as though he had destroyed the world. And he who saves one life, it is as though he had saved the world.
Why, Grandpa? Why is it the same to save one life as a whole world?
Because it shows, Joshua, where a man's heart lies. If he would do it for one, he would do it for all. And besides...
Yes, Grandpa?
To God, mankind is a precious thing. Any one part of it, just as much as all of it together. Do you understand?
I think I do.
And the more that we ourselves love mankind, the nearer we are to being in the image of God himself.
I see. Grandpa, will I ever save a life?
Oh, I am sure you will. Saving a life is not only being the hero in a moment of danger. There are other ways. We save life day by day in the small acts we do. To help someone face life is to save life.
Why, that's easy, Grandpa. We can all do that.
Well, then, do it, Joshua. Always.
Here you are, young fella. One chocolate ice cream soda.
Thank you. Oh, two more straws, please.
What's wrong with the one I gave you?
It wouldn't be sanitary that way. All three of us on one straw.
What? Three of you?
My friend Tommy over here, and my friend Willie over there.
All three of you on one soda?
Yep.
Why can't they buy their own sodas?
No money. Isn't that sad?
Now look, young fella.
Two more straws, please.
When they buy their own sodas, they get their own straws. Until then, my friend...
What? You call that fair? Me sitting and drinking a soda, and they just sitting and looking? Is that right? Is it nice? Is it?
Okay, okay. Three straws.
At 15, a prize scholar, he was graduated from the Walnut Hills High School in Cincinnati. But for 2 years, he had already been studying for the rabbinate at Hebrew Union College. At 18, as a senior at the University of Cincinnati, he was appointed to double as an instructor in philosophy. At 20... among his students, there was one who listened always even more closely than the rest. His own cousin, Fan Law. And towards the end of the term...
Fan, I don't know how to break this to you.
Go on, Josh. I can face it.
It's a serious problem in ethics. As I was making up the grades for the course, I found that, in all honesty...
Oh, you have to flunk me?
On the contrary, you rate an A.
Oh, thank you, Josh.
But just a moment, Fan... The terrible truth is that I'm too cowardly to give you an A.
Cowardly?
Yes.
You?
Well, if I do, everybody will say it's only because you're the teacher's favorite, so I'll have to give you a B.
Well, now, idle gossip like that should...
That's the trouble, Fan. It isn't idle gossip.
It isn't?
No, Fan. Not at all.
They were married soon after. After his ordination, the young rabbi's outstanding gifts as a preacher caused him to be called to the KAM Temple in Chicago, oldest synagogue in the Midwest.
Thank you, Dr. Liebman. It was kind of you to give me so much of your time.
I'd like to feel, Mr. Samuels, that I've been of some help.
Well, certainly you have. You listen so marvelously well.
Come in. Oh, hello, Fan.
I didn't know you had a visitor. I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, it's quite all right, Mrs. Liebman. I was just leaving. Well, good day, Dr. Liebman, and thank you again.
Come back any time you wish.
Goodbye, Mrs. Liebman.
Goodbye, Mr. Samuels. Josh, he looked so very troubled.
Oh, he has a world of sorrows, heaven knows. And all along I had the feeling...
Yes, Josh?
I had the feeling that all I was offering him was words instead of true comfort. Everything I wanted to avoid as a rabbi. In the pulpit, I know all the answers, but here in my study where people come to me in their grief...
Well, you haven't spared yourself, Joshua. You've called on everything you know.
Oh, perhaps, but knowing Plato and Aristotle and Maimonides isn't enough. This is an age of trouble, Fan, of Hitler, war, exterminations.
I know.
It's a time altogether when a rabbi must preach to the text... comfort ye, my people. Fan, I must get to know more about people, their sorrows, their fears.
Joshua, always so concerned about people.
Well, Fan, what else is there?
He turned diligently to studies of the human mind, giving it the same feverish interest he had once given philosophy and theology. The studies bore their fruit, for a few years later in Boston, when World War II took so many millions of lives, among them were sons of his own parishioners.
Dr. Liebman, it's no use telling me to be brave. Losing a son, do you expect me not to feel it?
There couldn't be any greater sorrow, Mrs. Phillips.
Then please don't tell me to try to pull myself together, to act as if it never happened.
There's just one thing that I could say, Mrs. Phillips.
Yes.
Aren't you forgetting your other two children?
Forgetting them?
Yes, by making yourself a perpetual mourner.
What?
Haven't you thought you might be harming the others?
Dr. Liebman...
The living also have their rights.
I'm sure they understand what's in my heart.
No. They're young. They can only think that their mother has closed the door on them, that they no longer get to her.
But it isn't so. How can they possibly think it?
Well, put yourself in their position. See yourself with their eyes. The sorrowing mother, her whole mind given over to that other child.
Well, possibly.
It's a matter of making a choice, Mrs. Phillips. Dying with the dead or staying alive for the living. Could you try, do you think, to live?
Well, I can see now, Dr. Liebman, that I must try.
That respect for life, that concern for others, it was a doctrine that, soon after the war, came to be tested in his own home.
Joshua, this afternoon a social worker called me.
Yes, ma'am?
She told me about children from Europe, saved from the concentration camps, brought here for adoption. There was one in particular, a girl.
Yes? Tell me, Fan.
Well, Leela is her name. Not yet 16, but she speaks half a dozen languages.
Oh. Well, Fan, this home could do with a child. You know how we've longed for one.
Well, that's the trouble, Josh. The child is so loyal to the memory of her parents that she just won't hear of adoption.
Ask her anyhow. Ask her as our guest.
It was on a Friday eve that Leela came to the Liebman home in the Somerset Hotel. A ravaged child, who sat with lowered eyes as her hostess kindled the Sabbath candle.
And may our home be consecrated, O Lord, by the light of thy countenance. May it shine upon us all in blessing. Amen.
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 Well, Leela, we're so happy to have you with us.
Thank you.
Leela, we would like to get acquainted with you. We'd like to know more about you.
Well, at the age of 14, I already had a trade there in the concentration camp. At 14, I was making bombs. And there were other things.
Leela, my dear.
Yes?
We don't expect you to smile. The right to weep is as sacred as any.
The right to weep?
Yes. Why, even in the Psalms, there's a place...
Oh, yes, the Psalms.
Remember? By the rivers of Babylon...
By the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down.
Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion.
We hanged our harps upon the willow trees in the midst thereof.
Yes, Leela. For it was no time for a song. And wrong to pretend that it was.
Uncle Josh?
Hmm?
Aunt Fanny?
Yes, Leela.
I don't have to cry anymore.
Leela stayed on, but always as a guest in the family for the first 10 months, to Liebman rarely mentioning the painful subject of adoption. Within a few months, she was writing from summer camp.
Joshua, listen to this.
Yes, ma'am?
And today we had auditions for the production of the Mikado that the camp is putting on. I tried out for one of the three little maids.
No, did she really?
And won the part.
Well.
Also, I'm developing a pretty good tennis serve and can now do a backstroke without drowning myself.
Oh, thanks.
And listen to this, Joshua. Please, please send me right away a nice light lipstick.
Lipstick? Mm-hmm. Why, Fan, she's young again.
It was natural for Rabbi Liebman's thoughts to turn to Leela. But now, back in his study, his attention is drawn solely to this new problem as he waits for the circuit to be completed to yet another ravaged human being.
Miss David, on that call to India...
Well, maybe that's it now.
I'll take it myself. Hello?
On your long-distance call, sir. I have your party now.
Good. Put him on, please.
Hello?
Mr. Anderson?
That's right.
This is Joshua Liebman. I received your
Joshua
letter...
Joshua Liebman calling me?
About your letter.
Phoning me nearly half across the country?
Well, I thought that you and I might arrange to meet.
Meet?
Mm-hmm.
How?
As it happens, I'll be in Chicago tomorrow for a meeting. Could you come up and meet me there in the lobby of the hotel?
Why should a man like you want to...
You're troubled. Isn't that reason enough? Now, promise me, Mr. Anderson, that you'll be there in Chicago to meet me. I want your word on that. Conductor?
Yes, sir?
Has the train made up any time?
Oh, no, sir. Maybe we lost even more.
Then when are we due in Chicago?
It'll be at least an hour late. Maybe two.
But that man will be waiting and thinking that I... Oh, conductor, how soon can I send a telegram?
Well, a couple of hours, we'll be starting...
No, it can't wait that long. It involves a man's life.
A man's life?
Yes.
Look, I'll get the engineer to pull at a whistle stop long enough to drop your telegram.
Good. I'll start writing it at once.
And I'll go see the engineer.
Thank you. Manager, Palmer House, Chicago, Illinois. Please page a Mr. Anderson in the lobby and inform him my train is late, but that I will surely join him sometime this evening. Yes, go on, Mr. Anderson.
But you've been sitting here with me for hours already, Dr. Liebman. What is there to add?
I'm not sure we have the story yet, Mr. Anderson.
I've told you. Here I was, trained to a profession, graduated with honors. Then in middle age, my wife died. My business collapsed. I have to move to another city, start again. A city of strangers.
Yes, yes. I can understand your terrible feeling of loneliness.
And besides, the son who once looked up to me...
Yes, Mr. Anderson?
Now he looks on me as a failure, as worthless to him and everybody else.
How do you know that, Mr. Anderson?
I can feel it, Dr. Liebman, and that's why I...
Dr. Liebman, if I may interrupt.
Excuse me, Mr. Anderson. Yes, Rabbi Stein.
The meeting is almost breaking up. If you'd like to come in for a moment or two...
Go ahead, Doctor. That's why you made this trip.
Well, Dr. Liebman?
Please express my deepest regrets and explain that... Something even more urgent has come up. Would you please?
Very well, I'll tell them.
Dr. Liebman, why do you go on bothering when the whole thing is now so clear?
What is clear, Mr. Anderson?
That I could be of better service dead.
Service? To whom?
To my son. That way I could leave him enough money for my insurance policy to see him through medical school and take myself out of his way.
Do you really think that money would be such a great gift to him?
All I know...
Together with the money, you would leave him also a burden of guilt. That it came to him at the cost of his father's life.
I hadn't thought of that.
You've talked also of taking yourself out of his way. Now, why is that necessary? Why? Mr. Anderson, it's my experience that sometimes people become as desperate as this over some one trivial thing they've magnified out of all proportion.
But, Dr. Liebman, it's not a trivial thing.
Oh? What's happened? Tell me.
A few days ago, I gave a check.
And?
When it reaches my bank, there won't be funds to meet it.
Oh. A large check?
No, but that is not the point. It's a matter of going back on my word, failing to meet an obligation.
For the first time in your whole life...
One time is enough.
No, you're much too harsh with yourself. Suppose you had time. Could you meet that check?
In a week, 10 days?
Oh, why haven't you explained that to the people involved?
How can I? The thought of failing to meet an obligation...
Well, how about the larger obligation? To yourself, to your son. The obligation to go on living. Instead of thinking of your life as worthless...
Dr. Liebman, you came 1,000 miles to listen to me.
Yes.
Then I can't be so worthless after all, can I?
Josh.
Hope I didn't wake you.
No, I've been sitting here all the while wondering how you...
Anne will be all right.
Oh, Josh, I'm so glad.
Now, if I'm going to make the next train back, I better hang up.
Well, why the rush? Why not...
Well, tomorrow Leela gets back from camp, and she should have a committee to welcome her, shouldn't she? Goodbye, Sam.
Until tomorrow, then.
The next morning at 6 o'clock, before Joshua returned, a welcoming committee of one greeted Leela.
Leela, you're looking wonderful.
I had a marvelous time.
Oh, I'm so glad, dear.
But it's good to get home.
Is it? Leela, what did you decide? Have you written to your social worker?
Do you still want to adopt me?
Oh, darling.
I want so much to be your daughter. Would you have me? Would you?
Oh, would we, Leela?
Hello, Van.
Josh!
Hello, Leela.
Hello, Daddy.
Josh, did you hear what Leela just called you?
Yes, I did. And in all my life, I never heard anything nicer.
He who saves one life, says the Talmud, it is as though he had saved the world.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Abraham N. Franzblau, Dean of the Hebrew Union School in New York.
It is hard to portray more than a glimpse of the character and greatness of Joshua Loth Liebman. People were drawn to him, and they felt the love he had for them. It is not surprising that to this day, his wife, his darling Fan, who is truly a biblical wife and helpmeet, still receives scores of letters every month from people all over the world expressing gratitude for the help and comfort they got from Dr. Liebman's great book, Peace of Mind. He was my best friend on earth, and it was my privilege not only to work with him, but also to play with him. As the founder of the field of pastoral psychiatry in its application to Judaism, the greater part of my life has been devoted at the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion to the task of bringing psychiatry into the service of the synagogue, enriching the ministry of the rabbi, and enlarging his sphere of service to his people. Dr. Liebman was the first rabbi to steep himself in this field and make it his major interest. He made dynamic psychiatry a great force in the service of God. For him, there was no conflict between religion and psychiatry, and his inner unity and integrity led him to wish to unify and integrate all those disciplines which could be applied to the study of man. Like our medieval philosophers, he devoted himself to many fields: philosophy, poetry, the social sciences, dynamic psychology, Hebrew language and literature, for which he had an amazing capacity to evaluate and absorb and then to apply. But only a few knew the rich warmth of his brilliant wit. His spontaneous humor, in which there was never a trace of hostility, delighted and, I may say, often convulsed us. I shall never forget how their beloved Joshi, as they called him, sat on the beach and told the story of Purim to my children in several versions, as the New York Times, the Tribune, the News, and the Mirror would write it if it happened today. Or his hilarious imitations of his favorites of stage and screen. Or his takeoff of the speeches of a half dozen prominent Jewish leaders, one after the other, at an imaginary banquet. When the name of Joshua Loth Liebman comes to mind and heart, it evokes not memories in the ordinary sense of the term, but unforgettable realities which will endure forever with all of us who knew him and loved him.
Thank you, Dr. Franz Blau. Our Eternal Light drama today, Who Saves One Life, was written by David Davidson and was based on actual incidents in the life of the late Reverend Dr. Joshua Loth Liebman. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast was Alexander Scourby as Joshua Liebman and Ann Seymour as Fan. The music was written by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. The production was under the direction of Edward King, and this is Bill McCord speaking. Time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
The preceding program was transcribed and came to you from Radio City, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.